You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Here on the Wellness for Life show, we'd love to bring on guests who are able to share their expertise on the big needle movers, their best natural strategies to improve health and prevent disease. And by far, experts agree that nutrition is the number one recommendation to jumpstart your wellness journey, whether you have diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's, arthritis, and cancer. Today, we have Susan Bratton, CEO of Savor Health, and Jessica Iannotta, a registered dietitian and certified specialist in oncology nutrition. Now, they're here to speak about the importance of proper nutrition for the cancer patient. Thanks for being here, Susan and Jessica.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
Great, great. First, I would love to ask Susan how you got interested in cancer nutrition.
Sure. So I worked on Wall Street for about 20 years, and 7 years ago, a very dear friend of mine was diagnosed with a glioblastoma, which is a brain tumor, and he suffered from terrible nutritional issues and was told that nutrition didn't matter and to eat whatever he wanted. And this struck me as odd. I've been a vegetarian since I was 18 and really believe that nutrition matters and eating right matters. And so I went to the evidence-based literature to understand the problem and found a lot of research that supported the fact that, in fact, nutrition does matter. And so armed with that research, I left my job and started Savor Health to help people like my friend Eric and his family get access to safe, evidence-based nutritional resources.
So let's talk about some of that, the safe evidence-based, because, you know, I'm a big believer in nutrition, and you are what you eat. You can heal diseases. You can heal your brain. You can heal your emotions even through food. So I'd love for us to start really talking about that. What kind of science-based medicine are we talking about?
So some of the journals and the research where the research is published includes very high quality journals, leading journals in the oncology space like HemOnc Today, Support Cancer Care, Oncology, and the Annals of Surgery, as a couple of examples of where that research is found.
Well, you know what? You just said some, you know, major scientific journals, but why is it not going to the mainstream doctors when it comes to cancer care? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. You are exactly right. And what's very interesting, and one of the issues in the industry, quite frankly, is the fact that doctors are taught very little nutrition in medical school. And so as a result, they're not really armed with the information that they need to provide advice and counsel to patients. And as you know, the evidence-based standard is how we practice medicine, but they're not taught this evidence. And as a result, I think doctors don't feel comfortable really delving into an area where they haven't been trained.
So then are you saying that it's best that, I mean, who, you know, I would say that then if they are not going to train, maybe they should have someone on their team who would be able to.
Absolutely.
You know, it sounds to me, that's exactly what you do, Jessica.
Yes, yes, yes. So you mentioned before, I am actually not only a registered dietitian, but a certified specialist in oncology nutrition. So the way a patient would recognize that would be looking for the credential RDCSO after the dietitian's name.
And so, but there's not many, though,
yeah,
Jessica.
Well, you know what?
There are not many of you.
Yeah, no, and that's because, unfortunately, insurance doesn't reimburse for oncology nutrition services. So often there's only, you know, if they're lucky, there's maybe one dietitian in an entire cancer center. When I was working in a cancer center, I covered two radiation oncology facilities and an entire cancer center, and it was only me. So, you know, essentially you're seeing the patients who have major nutritional issues, but you're not able to see the people where you can actually see them from the beginning and prevent the issues. And that's really the key.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. So let's talk about the big needle movers? I mean, what's the first thing that a cancer patient should start looking at? Actually, dumping out of their pantry and refrigerator. Let's talk about that.
One of the first things, and kind of going in line with what I just mentioned, is if there is a dietitian at your cancer center, try to make an appointment and meet with him or her as soon as you can. I think the research really demonstrates that early and ongoing nutritional intervention has such benefit in managing side effects and improving outcomes. But personally, what I do when I first see a patient is teach them that nutrition is something that they can control. So when everything else seems out of control, of course, with a cancer diagnosis, it's so empowering to take charge of your nutrition and put good, healthy foods into your body. So we always focus on starting with, you know, including really healthy, plant-based, immune-boosting foods, thinking of the foods that come from Mother Nature, right? All of our plant foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, all of those have really healthy cancer-fighting phytochemicals and antioxidants that help boost our immune system, have cancer-fighting properties, and really help prepare the body to begin treatment and sustain through treatment as well.
Is there a specific list that our listeners can actually go and find on your website, saverhealth.com? Is there a specific list?
We have a few great articles that that pertain to these phytonutrients. We have a ton of great cancer-fighting recipes and healthy recipes that are designed for both patients in treatment and after treatment as well. So there's a lot of great resources on our website and in our cookbook as well. There's 150 recipes that patients can use to help them before, during, and after cancer treatment.
Meals to Heal Cookbook, right? That's the name of your cookbook, Meals to Heal Cookbook, and that's available online on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, I believe?
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to add something here that I think is really important and actually relates to the cookbook, and that is, in addition to the cancer-fighting phytochemicals and healthy nutrient-dense foods, the other thing that we think a lot about, and I think patients and caregivers should think about, and that is managing around those symptoms that patients experience. So things like mouth sores, difficulty swallowing, nausea and vomiting, diarrhea and constipation. There are actually nutritional tools and strategies that you can employ to help manage those symptoms. And so one of the things that we did in the cookbook is we actually set up tables in the back where you can say, oh, today I'm experiencing mouth sores. What meals, what recipes are most appropriate for that symptom and will they manage the symptom? And then you can go find recipes that won't irritate those mouth sores. And so we did this because we know that managing the side effects is such a difficult thing for patients to do. And this is a really easy tool that they can just go to and say, oh, okay, for mouth sores, I'm going to have this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner. Super easy.
Wow, that's phenomenal, actually, because, you know, when you're sick, you don't want to eat. You have absolutely no appetite, and especially if you're doing some form of chemo, right? So you're making it so much easier by making it easier for anyone who have those type of specific symptoms, and everyone's different when it comes to symptomatology on how they react. I'd say the biggest factor is the nausea. The nausea, I don't want to eat. That's what my patients complain about, you know? So what are the foods that you recommend that will help that?
That's a great question. Well, first, there's a really important strategy before we get to the foods, and that is one of the first things I tell patients, even before they're experiencing nausea, I tell them, make a plan to try and eat small, frequent meals. And the reason why this is so helpful is because they're eating a little bit at a time, not overwhelming their digestive system with too much food. But at the same time, if you're prone to nausea, if you at least have a little bit of something in your stomach, it does help to prevent some of those uncontrollable spasms that can contribute to nausea. So it kind of keeps the stomach flowing and moving the way that it should. So those small, frequent meals are key, not only just for nausea and preventing weight loss, keeping up energy, preventing fatigue, so important. But in terms of managing nausea, there's actually a really great food that people don't always think of, ginger. It's something that's so simple, but actually has, the research has demonstrated that ginger has anti-nausea properties very similar. The plant chemical in the ginger is pretty much mimics the way that a lot of the anti-nausea drugs work. So it's such a natural way that we can help our bodies to prevent nausea. And there's so many great forms. You can do ginger tea. You can kind of use shredded ginger in soups and stews and stir fries. You can do a ginger biscuit or a ginger cookie. And there's even ginger capsules, which, of course, you would do with the approval and guidance of your medical team that you can take as well. So that's one thing that we always try to focus on because it has such proven benefit. And then, of course, keeping a food diary, looking at foods that may aggravate, of course, things like heavy foods, fried foods, greasy foods are certainly going to always aggravate nausea. Certain smells, like foods that have a very strong odor, can aggravate nausea. So we usually encourage patients to sit, eat in comfortable surroundings, make sure that they're relaxed. A lot of times, anxiety associated with being afraid to vomit, that alone can worsen nausea. So eat in a relaxed, calm surrounding and eat simple, bland foods. That's really the key.
No, that's a good point about being relaxed, because when you're not relaxed, nothing goes down properly. You know, ginger in Chinese, it's a hot herb. Now, does that affect those mouth sores we talked about earlier? Would someone who with mouth sores be able to drink and eat ginger, which is a spicy spice?
That's a great question. There are certain teas, and I've tried a number of them, simply because my patients, obviously, depending on what their needs are. So there are certain ginger teas that are a little milder. In particular, there's some lemon ginger teas, or where ginger's combined maybe with like a chamomile ingredient, that are definitely milder than a strong ginger tea. Some ginger teas also contain like some black pepper and other ingredients, like you said, which can be very spicy and irritating to mouth sores. So in that case, we may kind of disguise it more in a recipe, tone it down a bit, or just use some other strategies if the patient can't necessarily tolerate it in that particular form.
Well, in your, you know, when you think about your repertoire of 150 different meals, what are some of the examples of meals that everyone can eat?
That's a great idea to think about. Of course, when we think about meals that everyone can eat, we want to think about balance. So you want to make sure you're having a good source of protein. And what's really unique about our cookbook is that most of our recipes are actually plant-based protein. So looking at healthy ways to incorporate protein, not just from animal protein. So we've got some great stews, really, actually, that's a great example. Stews and casseroles and soups, like a really hearty minestrone, which we have a few examples of in our cookbook, one in particular that's delicious with kale. So those are a great food, very comforting, but yet at the same time very nourishing because of the wealth of ingredients that we have in there. And that's a great thing for people to stock up in their pantry or in their freezer, ahead of time. So if somebody says, hey, can I make you something to eat? It's a great example. Make a whole batch of soup, put it in small portions and stock it up in the freezer so you have it when you need it. And it usually, that kind of a food can really manage you throughout many of the symptoms.
That sounds really good. Stew right now. Oh, I love it. You know, there's also, you know, major schools of thoughts that you want to work on your alkalinity if you're a cancer patient and make sure that you're not so acidic. And acidic, of course, meats, and potatoes, things like that will create you in more acid environment, create a more acid environment that may promote cancer growth. Do you write about that in your book? And what's your take on it?
Yeah, not in particular. We really address our book is focused more on side effect management, proper nutrition, and really the basics. But when it comes to the acid-based balance, really, I think what that message comes down to is the simple message of plant-based foods, right? So ultimately, if you're going in the direction and moving more toward a plant-based diet, what we like to call the new American plate, right? Rather than the huge plate with half of your plate being a big steak and then mashed potatoes and gravy and all of that, the traditional, home-style food, it's moving toward the new American plate. Having a plate, let's say a whole bowl of quinoa filled with kale and chickpeas and ground let's say some ground nuts, and then if you do have meat on your plate, it's a condiment. So that's the difference, and that's where it's really the message more of focusing on a plant-based diet, moving away from the mainstream, and incorporating two-thirds or more of your plate being those plant foods.
Right. You know, what I love what you two are saying, Susan and Jessica, is that it's really for everyone. Your recommendations to me, it's not just for cancer. It's really for everyone so that they can improve their energy and health and their mind and their growth and recovery. I mean, could I say that? Don't you think that's true?
Absolutely. You know, all the research, whether you're looking at cancer or you're looking at diabetes and cardiovascular disease, it all really centers around a primarily plant-based diet comprised of lean proteins, fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, legumes, whole grains, things like that. And if you read the research, that's really the fundamental takeaway message.
Oh, that's great to hear. Yes, of course. You know, we always talk about that here on Wellness for Life, an anti-inflammatory diet, mainly plant-based. That's how I eat in our household. I wanted to also just reiterate that, you know, some people have allergies and that inflammatory can also be a problem. So if you have allergies to dairy or gluten-based grains, I'm sure there's going to be alternatives. Do you recommend alternatives in your book?
Absolutely. In each and every recipe, we give suggestions for ways to adapt it, not only based on the severity of your side effects, but also for, you know, for different food intolerances and food allergies. So, yeah, we're very sensitive to that within
That's
the recipe.
Great. Do you have any recipes that you've made up for, let's say, pain, when people feel pain with cancer patients?
You know, that's a great one, because I think pain, not only, I mean, obviously we see a lot, most of the pain we see is oral pain, but of course pain in general is incredibly debilitating. So I think one example would be we really like to recommend, like you mentioned earlier, anti-inflammatory food. So one that comes to mind that I recommend a lot for people who have chronic pain is using even just a simple, not necessarily a recipe, but a simple tart cherry juice, which has shown to have tremendous anti-inflammatory properties, especially for people who have chronic issues with pain. So I think a lot of the recipes that we have that contain things like berries and blueberries, we have some great smoothies, simple ways to stay nourished, simple ways to kind of snack throughout the day and consume those small, frequent meals, would be very adaptable and easy, easy to prepare, and easy to stock up and kind of keep on hand for people who are managing with chronic pain.
Great, great. So can you tell us a little bit, and I'd like to talk Susan, about the Savor Health site. Like, what else do you recommend? You have that cookbook. What other services do you guys recommend?
Sure. So we're a provider of personalized and practical nutrition solutions for cancer patients, and the services include things like home delivery of individually customized meals. We do menu planning, and we also offer consultations with oncology credentialed registered dietitians. And everything, kind of the fundamental underlying principle of Savor Health is we know that, and you mentioned this earlier, Suzanne, is that everybody experiences cancer and its treatment differently, and everyone is very, very individual. And so what we do is design customized solutions based on the patient's unique things like their diagnosis, what side effects they're experiencing, what are their underlying comorbid conditions? Do they have diabetes or cardiovascular disease? Are they what are their food allergies or intolerances and things like that? And then our recommendations are very, very specific to the patient. And what's really exciting, and we're super excited to talk about, is in the next 2 months, we will be releasing an actual technology app that will allow anybody anywhere in the world to be able to put in their data and get customized recipes that are very, very specific to their needs. So that's that's kind of what's coming around the corner in the next couple of months.
Wow. You know, I'm looking at your website, and it looks like you just mentioned about the you do delivery, meal delivery.
Yeah.
Which actually is, to me, super powerful. But you can do this anywhere. I mean, anyone in America will be able to.
Anyone in the continental United States. What we found is that Alaska and Hawaii is prohibitively costly to deliver to. But in the lower 48, as they say, we do meal delivery of individually customized meals. They're all organic, non-GMO. Super, super healthy, clean ingredients, and then we customize to the patient's specific needs.
And
a great alternative. Go ahead.
This is a great alternative because that's the biggie. Again, it's already prepared, and if they're delicious as it looks like in the photos, the images, then they get it every day. They get food delivered every day.
Well, this is okay. So this is again to. Designed around patient-specific needs, because what we've found is not everybody needs 7 days' worth of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sometimes they only need dinners or maybe lunch and dinners because they can do breakfast on their own. Or maybe it's just 5 days a week, and on the weekends they have a spouse or a partner or a friend who comes over and cooks. So we really design it based on the unique needs of the patient and his or her family.
How is it that you can deliver fresh food? Because it's not frozen, it's fresh.
Yeah.
How does that work?
There is a technology called MAPPING, which stands for Modified Atmospheric Packaging. And essentially what it means is that meals are prepared, they're cooked, they're brought down to about 34 degrees, and then the oxygen is removed and replaced with nitrogen, and then it's sealed. And what that nitrogen does is it slows down the process of decay or deterioration that you see with normal food. And so it's like, you know, when you take an apple and you put it out and it turns brown, if you map the apple, you wouldn't have that brown. I mean, it stops that process, the oxidation process, and that's how we do it. And then we also ship it overnight, so on ice, so it gets to the patient's home the next day, and then it just goes in the refrigerator, and it's heat and eat. You just pop it in the oven or the microwave, and it's ready to go.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, that's phenomenal. So, you know, is this insurable? I mean, do insurance companies pay for this?
Not yet. You know, it's very interesting. We Saber Health has been around since 2012. And one of the things that we've noticed over the last number of years is that while insurance companies don't pay for it today, nor do they pay for nutritional counseling, or some do and some don't, we are finding that health insurance companies are paying greater attention to nutrition just in general. And we believe that the industry is moving to a point where they will consider, for certain types of patients, paying for meals, paying for nutritional counseling, because the research shows that malnourished patients experience a 54% higher rate of readmission and a 5 to 6 day longer length of stay, which ultimately drives costs in the health system. And insurance companies are looking to reduce costs, and it may be more cost effective for them to actually pay for counseling, personalized nutrition intervention, and even meal delivery for a certain amount of time, because it'll keep patients out of the hospital.
Oh, it's so important, isn't it? I mean,
it really
more
is.
And more. I'm so glad mainstream's going towards this direction. And the whole, you know, individual meal delivery plan that you're speaking of is, awesome. And of course, it's going to cost money to do this, but it may be worthwhile. It may be worthwhile. And then, of course, if I understand that you even give like a 15-minute free call with one of your oncology registered dietitians weekly,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, once a week we check in and make sure that the meals are meeting their specifications, helping managing. Manage the side effects, and also to identify, have any new issues develop so that we can make sure that we're best meeting the patient's needs. Because as you know, side effects and symptoms change throughout treatment. And so you really have to be very, very dynamic each week as things evolve and change for the patient.
Wow. You know what? To me, it's getting closer to what I call personalized medicine. That's what you're doing, and I think it's fantastic. Fantastic, Susan. Jessica, thanks so much for being here on Wellness for Life. SavorHealth.com. SavorHealth, and that's SavorHealth.com. Going to find all kinds of great information there, and definitely get that Meals to Heal cookbook. Until next time, this is Dr. Suzanne Bennett here on Wellness for Life's Wellness for Life show on Radio MD, sharing natural strategies. Thank you so much. Stay well.